is Upstate's HealthLink on air, Linda Cohen along with you. Well, children with special needs can have some unique issues when it comes to caring for the health of their teeth, gums, and mouth. This may be due to the symptoms of their health condition, the need for medications that they take that may contain sugar, their overall diet, maybe trouble with eating, or oral sensitivity. And their unique needs may present particular challenges to the dentist overseeing their care. Here with more on this is Dr. Patrick Smith, assistant professor and the residency program director for the dental service at Upstate Medical University. Welcome, Dr. Smith.
Thank you, Linda.
So kids with special needs need good dental care. Is that true?
That's absolutely correct.
And why is that more true potentially for them than your average child?
Well, we see with a lot of children with special needs, they come in with a variety of issues. As we'll talk about a little bit today, we look at children with particular emotional, physical, or mental handicaps that still need treatment just like everybody else. So when when they are approached for treatment, they have a particular set of needs that need to be addressed, all with different varieties of really issues and backgrounds that they present with to the office. So again, some have very supportive backgrounds and family members to get their treatment performed or get them introduced to dental care. And others, I think, just need a little more education in their background to kind of discover what needs to happen for them. Certainly, a lot of children have particular aversions, as you mentioned, with sensitivity. So that's always a challenge for the dentist and the dental team to provide proper care for those children.
Yeah, it would seem that also if you're talking about a child who may be somewhat developmentally delayed, disabled, or even have some specific oral malformations, those mm-hmm. kinds of things,
correct.
which also are in combination with sometimes with developmental disabilities, they would really be at higher risk, it would seem to me, for things like even just standard dental caries or misalignment of their teeth and all of that kind of thing.
Absolutely. You know, we see quite a few children here at Upstate, of course, with developmental needs that are particular. We work quite closely with ENT, you know, for children, for example, who have cleft palate issues. So with our team approach here at Upstate, you know, dental's included in that, fortunately, to help provide care for those patients when they come in, again, with their really particular subset of needs. Sometimes, hygiene is a challenge for these children because of their developmental problems. Simple tooth brushing becomes the sort of almost daily
battle
for these kids. Absolutely, yeah. And providing some information to the parents and letting them know it's okay to kind of maybe step over their comfort boundaries as far as how to approach the children with daily oral care, letting them know you sometimes have to be a little more persuasive with your children. Sometimes you have to help them brush. You have to encourage them to do what needs to be done.
It's interesting because I would also think that things like dental care in some cases might take a backseat to more burning or other burning medical issues. For example, someone who might have a syndrome where there may be some heart problems that are associated with it and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
So the dental care may somehow not be seen as the burning issue.
That's correct. Yeah. And oftentimes, again, it's education to the parents, letting them know, hey, by the way, we have dental problems here too that we need to address. You're right. Sometimes the medical becomes the overwhelming concern for the parents, and that becomes their life is, you know, what the medical problems are. So the dental becomes almost a backseat issue. But unfortunately, it oftentimes catches up with, you know, both the child and the parents.
Yeah, as you said, because it can bring on a lot more problems secondary to not taking good care
correct.
Of their teeth. So when do you recommend, especially with a child with special needs, a first visit to a dentist?
Well, my recommendations really aren't too different than for most children in general. I still like to see children maybe 6 to 12 months after their first tooth eruption. And for most children, it happens around age 6 months. We'll get the lower incisors in. And at that point, I think it's always good for exposure level. Multiple visits to the dentist for nice visits, for exam.
Non-traumatic visits.
Correct, yeah. to assess the teeth, count the teeth. You know, when my children come in to see me, again, it's all about let's count the teeth, let's see how many you've got, and we kind of make it fun and friendly. And then we'll do a little toothbrush prophy with them to show them that, hey, this was a good visit. And again, our efforts are always to catch things early. If you've got a cavity, let's catch it while it's still small. Before we end up having to talk about taking out teeth.
So things like preventive care seem to be high on the list here in terms of forestalling any later problems.
Correct.
And so it would seem that educating the parent as to how to achieve that preventive care, what are some of the things you say to parents?
Well, again,
besides telling them to be strong about
sure.
getting the teeth brushed.
We can't really stress enough. It is about prevention. And some of those things happen at the dental office as well. So, you know, for take home, it's really talking about, well, what can you do at home to help your child brush their teeth better or take better care of their teeth? And there are certain tools and aids that you can acquire either through the store or through your dental office. One of our favorites, of course, is just referencing electric toothbrushes. There are a whole variety of electric toothbrushes available for parents to look at. They have ones that play music when you brush your teeth, which is very popular. And they have other ones that just merely having the mechanical action of that electric brush basically stimulates a little bit. And a lot of kids actually do like that. And the take home is there are inexpensive options. A lot of grocery stores, drug stores have relatively inexpensive electric toothbrushes.
If you're just joining us, you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air. I'm Linda Cohen here with Dr. Patrick Smith. He's the residency program director for the dental service at Upstate Medical University. And we're talking today about dental care for kids with special needs. So are there specific, in the dental office itself, because I want to get to that, or even in terms of things you might train a parent for, are there special techniques, positions, things that you might utilize to help effectuate getting these kids to brush their teeth or to be more comfortable with the whole procedure process?
Sure. You know, for home care issues, again, I think it's trying to make it as fun an activity as you can for them. So oftentimes we recommend timers. You can get these little inexpensive glass timers. They sell them at the dollar stores. It is one of the items that sometimes we give out from through our hygiene department here at our office just to remind kids, hey, you need to brush for 2 minutes. And this is just a friendly little way of reminding them. Giving them colorful toothbrushes, Crayola toothbrushes we have, for example, are popular because of the colors in them. And again, for younger kids, sometimes it's, you know, both parents working together in the beginning with a child to show them and encourage them that this is great, this is what you want to do, this really is going to make your teeth feel better. And then we try to reference it that way to the parents.
Now, some kids, I would think, and this, well, let's get to what you do in the office.
Sure.
When you have a kid with special needs, are there specific procedures or methodologies that you use, techniques that you use
Sure.
for a kid with special needs that you might not need to use for a so-called average child?
Well, in our office, of course, you know, we'll call that behavior management. And just it really means using a variety of techniques to try to honestly distract. We're just trying to distract the patient to maybe not necessarily get them to understand. Well, they'll see what we're doing, but we're actually doing something else.
It's interesting because obviously a lot of this is age-related and also cognitive ability-related. I mean, kids with developmental problems, not all are cognitively impaired.
Correct.
Some have cerebral palsy, all kinds of issues there that would make them have special needs. But assuming, obviously, you would have to treat each child uniquely and differently, but go ahead. You were talking about
sure.
distraction as
yeah,
well.
Everybody presents with their own special needs, honestly. So depending on what the potential handicap for that child or special need is, really modifies how we approach them in the office setting. So I think when you're looking for an office for treatment of your child, you need to understand that different offices apply different techniques and different things to offer based upon their history and their expertise and what they do.
Would you in general, though, want a pediatric dentist in this case?
Again, it depends on the needs of your child. If your general dentist is comfortable and you're comfortable with how your general dentist approaches your child's care, I think that's the most important thing, is that you feel good about what's going on in the office. If you're hesitant, if you feel like this isn't right for your child, then looking at a pediatric dental option is always a good choice. Again, in our community, we're blessed to have some very gifted pediatric dentists that we can refer to. And those folks have a variety of tools in their arsenal to make things more comfortable for your child. And I think that's where you really win in those situations.
I agree. And I read something about this knee-to-knee position as something that's kind of uniquely used with kids with special needs. Tell us about that.
Sure. So, you know, knee-to-knee really is just an approach to make the child more comfortable. And just as it sounds, it really involves the parent and the doctor, in which the child really straddles the parent, more or less the lap, and then is reclined into the more or less the lap of the treating dentist or staff member, if you will. And really, it provides the dentist greater access. It's a little more comfortable position because the child feels, you know, somewhat nestled yet by the parent. So there's a security issue there that's addressed. But, you know, for the dentist, it gives them much better access so that they can do the appropriate exam that they need for the time that the child's there. And that really works quite well for the really young.
So how do you reference before that in our community that we have a good range of, pediatric dentists who are well-trained and versed in this type of work. But what would you recommend to parents if they're looking for a dentist in our community or any community?
Well, again, if you don't have a dentist for your child and you yourself don't have a dentist, calling the local dental society here is a great option. They're centered right here in Syracuse, and that would be the 5th District Dental Society, as it's called. And certainly they'll have a list of what I would consider appropriate people to refer to for pediatric needs.
It seems to me that would be true wherever you lived.
That's true.
You could call a dental
society
as probably the least biased and the most
correct.
They'll
informed. Have a reference of available dentists who may treat special needs in particular. So that's why I would actually reference them first. Of course, word of mouth is always important. Parents with special needs children tend to group or coalesce as support groups. So asking other parents where they take their children, where they've had good experiences, is very helpful.
Absolutely. What tips, I don't want to run out of time, just very briefly, what tips would you offer parents to help get them ready for their child's dental appointment?
I think just letting the child know that it's going to be, you know, a relatively fun activity. I try to get the parents not to bias the children before they come in, because that's kind of easy to do. We've all had a variety of experiences as adults.
You mean negatively biased?
Correct, yeah. So I try to get away from that with the parents. I, you know, promote not talking about injections, for example, or bad taste, or even blood, as those are all, you know, commonalities at most dentist's office. We just don't discuss it. Again, we try to distract and get away from those types of negative terms.
So basically, you're trying to make it a positive experience, or to prepare them for something that would basically be positive, and
correct.
Hopefully...
It is positive for them. Right.
If you found a dentist who's sensitive to the needs of special needs kids, then it likely will be a positive experience, and clearly a very important one for their overall
correct.
Health.
Absolutely.
Well, I want to thank you so much for coming in. This is very important information. My guest has been Dr. Patrick Smith. He's assistant professor and the residency program director for the dental service at Upstate Medical University. I'm Linda Cohen, and you're listening to Upstate's HealthLink on Air.